Jesus is heading to the cross right here in the middle of Mark's gospel. And really from the middle of chapter 8 all the way to chapter 16, he is focusing in on demonstrating an unbelievable love for you and I. And so this morning, thinking about that love expressed at the cross, and certainly the mission that he is has completed, but continues to work out in our lives. If you ever think of different questions you might have about the Lord, what questions about your faith in God leave you confused and dumbfounded and perplexed? Maybe you walk away shaking your head or just saying, oh, I don't have any answers, so I'm just going to have to wait and see what God does. Certainly, anybody who's thought about any relationship has questions about it. You know, no matter how long you've been married to somebody, you have always wonder, you know, I wonder what they're thinking, or why do they do what they do? Same thing with family relationships, Christian to Christian. There's a sense of wonder about how people respond to each other. Same in terms of our own self. We can't always figure out why we do what we do. R.C. Sproul has been a Bible teacher for a long time, about 40 years or so, said that the question that stumps him the most is not, you know, why they're evil. Certainly he has a hard time with that. He often struggles with the death of the young. He's lost a number of grandchildren when they were at a very young age, so he faced that grief. But he said the question that gets him the most, that leaves him most perplexed, is simply this: why does God love us so much? Okay, why does God love us so much? And you would think, well, we kind of expect that he would love us. What else is he going to do? But for Sproul, that gets his attention, and it moves him towards worship and surrender and faith in the Lord. Why does God love us so much? Why does a good God love bad people? Okay, bad people are all there are, so who else is he going to love? We are great sinners in need of a great Savior. And when you think about the love of God, it's so different from what we're used to and what we're able to express. It's unconditional. That means it's all the time. He loves us no matter what. It's unrelenting. He is tenacious in his love. He's pursuing. He's persevering. He's very much of a stick-with-it love person. His love is extravagant. We get to have different baby showers and bridal showers here at the church, and it's fun to see the family take the gifts that are brought, you know, more than can fit in one car. Look at all these gifts. This is great. This is a wonderful thing. And you'd say, oh, that's extravagant. That's a good thing. First John says, see what love the Father has lavished on us. Certainly he throws a shower for us every day, right, in terms of blessings. If we were to stop and count them or try to put them in our car, we'd say we need a 48-passenger bus to haul around what he's given us. His love is tough and tender. His love, as one writer said, goes beyond the highest star, goes to the deepest hell. So what about that love? And Jesus begins to point to his disciples to that love, and it leaves them in a bit of a mystery. I think it's good that we always have aspects of our relationship with God that remains a mystery. Leave the mystery in the great relationship God has for you, and certainly the great love. If you had two libraries, for example, one library contained everything you did know, okay, throughout your lifetime, experiences, thoughts, things from the Bible, that would be a pretty big library. And then you'd have another library that contained all the books with information that you did not know. Okay? That you did not know. Which library is going to be massively bigger than the other? Of course, it's going to be what we don't know, which leads us to trust God and what so much that he's, you know, given us his son and some information at any rate. So to have hunger for God and say, why does he love us so much? Jesus asked his disciples a question. He says, who do men say that I am? That's a tough question. They say, some say you're one of the prophets. You could be Elijah. You could be John the Baptist. In other words, you're a really, really good man, Jesus. And the same thing is said pretty much by the average person today. Who do you think Jesus is? Well, he was a good man. We appreciate what he said. And then Jesus looks at them and says, but who do you say that I am? And the Lord asks our soul that question. Okay, we have to give an answer about Jesus. Prophet, good man. Peter says, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah, the Son of God. And therefore, Peter would give his trust to the Lord. And Jesus said, Peter, you didn't get that on your own. My Father gave that info to you. Now, here's the part of showing the love of Christ. Jesus says to the disciples, you know, when the Messiah comes, who the Lord is, he's going to have to suffer, be rejected, be killed, and rise from the dead. That's tied into how he would relate to all of us. And Peter's response is, that's never going to happen. Forget about that. And Jesus says to Peter, you don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. So God's great work of getting to our souls with the love of God has to do with the work of salvation and the powerful love of God that, of course, he did express at the cross. And it goes beyond call it a ledger kind of love. You're familiar with a ledger where you have debts on one side. Okay, and these are the sins that we have. Here's the debts on one side. And so we need credits on the other to wipe out the debts. So we thank you, Jesus. You give us the credit. So our debts are wiped out. Thank you very much. You know, the taxes are done, and I'll talk to you in a few months. The love of Christ certainly involves the canceling of debts, but goes beyond that. With desire, with delight toward lost ones, with compassion toward the whole world. Okay, the great love of God coming at lost souls who need his care. And how wonderful it is when we stop and consider that amazing love. Hymn writers struggled with it for many years and wrote songs about it. One, for example, why should he love me so? Why should my Savior to Calvary go? Why should he love me so? There's a sense we say, wait a minute, not too many people have died for me, you know, even when I was at my worst. And you mean the Son of God would do this? Why should he love me so? It leaves us with our knees bent. Charles Wesley, who knew the Bible very much, he said this about the love of God. He said, amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, should die for me? Okay, so there's I can't believe that God would love me with this much intensity. Here's an old spiritual, deals with the same wonder. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it makes me tremble, tremble, tremble. To be so moved by the present love of Christ toward you and toward me, that we just say, oh, nothing gets my attention or shakes me up like that. And we're so thankful for the human love we receive. And that's a gift of God too. But the love of God coming to us, what a gift. Isaac Watts, who wrote Joy to the World, put it this way in one of his songs. Alas, and did my Savior bleed and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred life to such a one as I, or to such a worm as I? Watts said, this still knocks me for a loop, that God would love me with the great love of Christ. The intelligent apostle Paul, he wrote this in Ephesians 3. He said, I want you to know how long, wide, high, and deep is the love of Christ. And then he said this, how this love surpasses knowledge. Surpasses knowledge. And then, again, knowledge is a wonderful thing. There we have our library, okay? Bible teaching, We got science, we got poetry, we got the arts, you know, we got kinesiology and things that we didn't have, you know, 15, 20 years ago. All that knowledge, Paul said, when it comes to salvation, God's love surpasses all that. And all that's helpful and all that's good, but it surpasses that, what God would do to win our soul over to himself. And we're amazed, we're glad, we're thankful. Tozier wrote about the love of God and our response to it. He said this: God's love is incomprehensible. I can barely say that word. It means I don't understand it all. And it's vast. And before the love of God, we kneel in joyful silence. And from the love of God, we often retreat confused and rattled. Okay, now I just want you to let the Lord talk to you about just that great love. You know, we kneel in joyful silence about it. Often think of Good Friday or just God's provision for your life. But also we stand back confused and rattled. I hope you're rattled by the love of God. You know, I want my soul to be rattled by the love of God, to say, but there's nothing in the universe that's going to motivate salvation toward us like that. And that's the way the Lord is. And that's the way he would share that quality in our own souls. Well, here's some testimonies from the Bible about God's love. It might be of help to you and grow our faith in the Lord. Romans chapter 8, nothing shall separate us from God's love. Okay, that which gives us joy and that which rattles us. It's a good saying when somebody's able to cope in life in a number of settings, we say that person is secure in themselves. They're comfortable in their own body, you might say. Well, just think how true it is that we could be secure in God's love. Well, that person's secure in God's love. They seem to be able to lean on the Lord no matter what's happening. That's the result of God's love coming to them. Romans chapter 8. Nothing shall separate us from his love. Psalm 63. God's love is better than life. And therefore our soul will sing praise to him. You stop and think, I'm loved by God himself. It's incredible. 1 John chapter 4. Says God is love. Says it twice. His love casts out fear. I remember once a family member going through a hard time. A friend of mine said, hey, just remember, God loves that one. Boy, it was like somebody came in and just put a great foundation in my heart that even though I still was anxious a bit, I again was reminded, hey, God's going to work on behalf of your loved one. He loves that one so intensely. Jeremiah 31, God's love is everlasting. John 15, Jesus said, remain in the love of God. Romans 5 says, God's love has been poured into our heart by the Spirit he's given us. So if you're a Christian, you have plenty of love to pass on. And it's a gift from the Lord. John Ortberg talked about the love of God. And he said this: nothing you will ever do could make God love you more than he does right now. Again, that's the difference of the intense, faithful love of Christ. No achievement, no accomplishment, no success. Isn't that great that God's love is like that, you know? God's love is not just for the ones who excel, or the 4.0 students, you know, or the ones who have ability to do many things. His love is not just for them. Love's for all. The intensity, the openness of it. And God's love does not increase with greater spirituality or obedience. Okay. God loves the rebel as much as he loves the one who's very obedient. His love would change both lives. And Ortberg went on to say, you can't do anything to make God love you less. No sin, no guilt, no failure. He loves you just because. Just because. It helps us say, I want to trust such a one. I trust such a one. God's love for you is faithful, stubborn, and emotional. And He'll be there for you when you can't be there for Him. I think allow yourself to know God's emotional love for you. Okay. When you think of loved ones in your life, I'm sure you say, wow, this is something that I can share love with them. God would share love with you. One example of putting love into action, a wounded soldier from a recent war was rehabbing in a VA hospital. And he lost the ability to walk normally. Also, emotionally, he was wiped out, seeing some of his friends die in combat. Yet when he was in that hospital, he was a Christian guy, and he thought, okay, Christ has to help me recover from this. So he took on himself to visit the other guys, you know, who were in the hospital, just be a friend, talk person to person. He would reach out to them, give them a little bit of hope or courage. Hey, you look like you're making progress, and I know you can, you know, do it, and those types of things. Offered to pray for the men, and it was through that guy's loving others that they were encouraged to heal up much better, and his own recovery went better in the terms of his attitude and accomplishments. He even put by his bedside, now this would be a shocker, you could try if you're in a hospital or whatever, he put on the bedside, we love the VA medical team. Okay, now how many have seen that in the hospital room? You know, that's your job. Your job is not just to recover, but to love those that God has sent you to that are going to help you get better. And so it was the love of God in his life that made a difference, practical difference. And that's your mission and my mission. Love of God poured out into our heart. It's extravagant. We don't quite understand it, but we're glad to trust Christ. We're glad to pass that on. And it's the kind of love, as Jesus told the crowds, he said, hey, this is the kind of love that you'd be glad to lose your life. You'd be glad to lose yourself. You'd be glad to lose even the whole world if you had to, because the Lord is much better. And you don't want to get the whole world and your life and lose this great love of God, to lose your soul. So remember the love of God, and would it cause you to say, thank you, Jesus, for your great love. Help me to trust you and pass that on to others. Let's pray together. Father, I pray for each of us here that we would rejoice in your love demonstrated at the cross and even in the particulars of our life. I know, Father, we could say, well, I know Jesus gave his life for me, and he would give me the gift of heaven. But I so much need his friendship in these days. I need an open door where I don't see any open doors. I need the assurance that he's for me and not against me. Would you make yourself real to each one of us, as you certainly would delight in taking care of us as your children. You encouraged us to compare to our own levels of love. If we would do good to the ones we love, children and so on, how much more would our Father in heaven take care of us and show his great care and love? And I pray for anybody here, Father, who would say, well, I don't know that God loves me. I've never received that love. Might that dear person say, well, Jesus, I trust you. I want to follow you, Lord. I don't want to gain the world and lose my soul. I'd rather have my soul with Christ. So please come into my heart and help me follow you. Lord, be with each dear one here and lead us as we rejoice in the love you've given. And might it be passed on as freely as we've received from you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.